level of relaxation. I invite us to have a nice deep breath, breathing in through the nose and then out through the mouth. Yeah, breath is always there as a loving companion. And so let's just notice the quality of that breath. We notice a shallow breath. Can we invite a deeper breath? It's shallow or quick. Yeah, we just take this moment to slow it down and relaxing the arms. What if you let the arms just kind of go limp? Thinking about a nice soft belly. Relaxing the muscles around the hips and the quads. Relaxing the calf muscles and all the little tendons and tiny bones in the feet and the toes. Just from this relaxed posture, noticing with our attention inward, if we can just find a place to rest our attention. I'll invite you to choose an anchor so that as sounds arise or distractions, even thoughts, right, we don't fight them, we don't ignore them, we just notice them and then we let them pass. It's just like a cloud moving across the sky. It's if we notice it in our attention, there's a thought. Oh, that noise, that car is loud. And then we let it go. It's gone, and we return our attention to that anchor. So go ahead and choose an anchor for yourself for our practice, whether it's the breath, or your hands on your lap, or your feet on the floor. It's just a place that you can return your attention as thoughts arise and distractions occur. I invite us to have another deep breath, breathing in through the nose, then out through the mouth. Really feeling that relaxation on the exhale. Yeah, how is the quality of the breath? When you allow the breath to go deeper, so we'll begin the practice by inviting the bell one time and I'll close it by ringing the bell three times. For this first few minutes, I just invite you to kind of focus on that single point of attention, whether it's the breath or a place on the body. We'll just focus our attention for a few minutes. a moment to notice where the attention is. If it's wandered to a distraction or thought, just gently invite that attention back to the focus, the anchor. For the next few minutes, I'm going to invite you to choose an alternate anchor. So if you were using the breath, I invite you to maybe choose another anchor of maybe your hands resting in your lap. So the purpose is to have a place to alternate your attention between the breath and the second anchor. You might choose your feet on the floor, but just that at your own rhythm and your own time, you can move your attention from one focus point to another. Simultaneously noticing as thoughts arise, can you let them arise and then fade away and return your attention to either of the anchors at whatever rhythm alternating them makes sense? Let's do this for a few minutes. Just alternating our attention between two anchors of our focus. Taking a moment again to notice, where's the attention in this moment? As we alternate between our two anchors, how can we best sustain our focus and concentration? For the next few minutes, I invite you to continue expanding that awareness from the two points of attention into a broader sense. Might you include noticing any sounds that are around you? Might you notice the temperature You expand your awareness to everything in the room that you're sitting in. Could you keep a quality of focus and concentration while simultaneously expanding that awareness? So we'll just try this on for a few minutes, but the next few minutes, try to expand your awareness into the room around you, the sounds, smells, temperature. We'll just hold this for a few moments, see if we can cultivate a sense of concentration and focus with the expanded awareness to everything that's in the room around us. Just for a few minutes. Noticing how different that sensation is of expanded awareness from our single point. We continue to expand using your imagination and your mind's eye, just inviting you to expand that awareness of our practice beyond the walls of the room you're in, outside of the building. Just test and see how far you can expand your awareness while still holding that concentration and sensation of focus. This expansion of awareness, even in your mind's eye and imagination, what's beyond the walls of this building? What can you be aware of while at the same time holding attention and sensation of focus and concentration at this awareness level? Just have this luminous mind expansion of our awareness while we practice concentration and focus. And we'll just do this for a few minutes. Just sit in this expansive mind, luminous mind awareness while we meditate and practice concentration and focus. Taking a moment to notice, what is it like to have this broad, expansive awareness while trying to maintain focus and concentration? The sensation is different than how we began. Now we work in the reverse, and I'll ask you to contract that awareness in this luminous mind, expanded as far as we can, just bringing it together and closing it back into the room. Locate your awareness into the walls that outline the room you're in. Again, trying to maintain that focus and concentration while still being aware of any sounds, temperature, movement, smells. Just holding our attention in that space of the room around us just for the next few minutes. Noticing where our attention is in this moment. Continue to contract our awareness. I invite you to choose two anchors or points of attention to alternate for just the next few minutes. And whatever rhythm and pace feels good to you, move your attention from one anchor to the other. Meanwhile, noticing as thoughts arise or distractions or sounds. We don't fight them, we just notice them and then let them leave our awareness. We don't attach. We don't need to follow that story. We don't need to complete that thought. We just notice them and let them fade away. So alternating awareness between two anchors just for the next few minutes. And now, in the last few minutes of our meditation, I invite you to collapse your attention all the way into just one single point or anchor. It could be the breath, your feet on the floor. Just have a place to singularly rest your attention. You notice the thoughts that arise and pass, fade. Just we'll have one single point of attention for the last few minutes of our practice. And bringing our attention back into the space. Yes, thank you so much for your practice. Just giving this note in the chat. I'm going to check my sound for a minute. Excuse me one moment. I made an adjustment. Does that sound any different, Caitlin?
Yes,
It does?
wonderful. Thank you. It
Oh,
does to me.
great.
Oh, wait. No, still that tinny quality.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
It sounds a bit better though. Do other people notice a little difference? I know that, yeah, Theo had pointed out there was like a little ringing quality to the audio.
That's such a challenge. I'm not sure what part of the device it is or how to
Yeah.
fix it. We tried headphones earlier and I don't
Yeah.
know.
I think it's a bit better, Patrick. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for your practice. Are folks familiar with Luminous Mind? Have folks done this expansive and kind of contracting tension before? Just wondering, because it really generates kind of different sensations, right? We're used to kind of single point of attention, focus, and meditation. This expansion can feel, very different. I'm just wondering how it was, before I start talking, is there any reaction to the, like, what did it feel like to expand and then to kind of contract? Yeah, feel free to take yourself off of mute. I'm curious about your experience. Yeah, please, why?
I just felt some tingleness when I went from the breath as a focus into my hands. I could feel real tingleness through my legs. And
Interesting.
also later on, as we kept on moving, I could feel the coldness of the room also. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Any other thoughts or reflect tonight? As a teacher, I really love to ask students, why do we practice? What's the intention? Some folks are intending to awaken, maybe in this lifetime, but others of us are more on a journey of exploration and practices and reducing the suffering for ourselves and others. But it's a great question to keep alive. The other question I always ask as a teacher is, how are you cultivating the conditions in your practice that will really be supportive to you? So I wanted to start by reading, from Ajahn Chah's Food for the Heart. It's a text that I find a lot of great information in. Jack Kornfield wrote the foreword. It's got some stories and some components, but I wanted to read this section. It says, if you want to know the Dhamma, where do you look? You must look within the body and the mind. You won't find it on a bookshelf. To really see the Dhamma, you have to look within your own body and mind. There are only these two things. The mind is not visible to the physical eye. It must be seen with the mind's eye. The Dhamma that is the body must be seen in the body. And with what we do look, and excuse me, and with what do we look at with the body? We look at the body with the mind. You won't find the Dhamma by looking anywhere else because both happiness and suffering arise right here. Or maybe you've seen happiness arising in the trees or from the rivers or in the weather. Happiness and suffering are feelings that arise in our own bodies and minds. I start here because I wanted to kind of gather our attention in this idea that our practice really is cultivating the sensations within the body to be aware of them, right? That we're using our mind in a particular way, right? When we focus our attention on the anchor, this concentration. Right? This is building a muscle so that we can endeavor to do even more practices. Right? This idea of expansive awareness, or like how can we be mindful of our attention and noticing and not attaching to thoughts, right? To just be aware of the thoughts that arise and then not follow them to their conclusion, but just to notice them and let them pass. This is a practice of like being selective of our thoughts, and it is very foundational to our practice, but also a wonderful tool. And I feel like what this teaching is pointing to is this awareness that, yeah, there is the mind and then there's the body. And these are our tools for cultivating these levels of awareness for all different types of practice. I mentioned that I entered the doorway, entered the practice of the doorway of suffering. And, since then, I've been on this journey of really uncovering and revealing. Originally I thought that I was seeking, right? I was seeking knowledge, I was seeking experience, I was seeking the wisdom of others. And it was helpful. There are certainly teachers along the way that I really credit and honor with what I've learned. And then there's this other type of learning that I got to that I don't know if you ever had this experience, but you set your heart on a particular teacher. They're so wise, they've created some wisdom and revealed some pieces of practice to you that are like so amazing. And then eventually that teacher may fall from the pedestal. I was talking with a friend of mine and I was like, oh, these teachers, like the way I project onto them, right, has nothing to do with them. My projections, my needs that I project, ultimately they fall. And I believe it's purposeful. I believe they fall because then the next step is for us to be cultivating the teacher and the wisdom within ourselves. And as Ajahn Chah is pointing towards, like, there's no wisdom other than the mind and the body. And what a revelation that we carry these things with us every day and we can practice with them. They're at our disposal. And should we have the inclination, we can slow down and use our practice to be mindfully aware, expansive, or very focused. You know, that this is all available to us in the practice. As a queer man of color moving through the world, there have been plenty of instances where my attention or my mind has been very scattered, right? Under the duress of homophobia or transphobia, under the duress of even the impact of racism in the world. Like, it causes great, I want to say consternation, but it's suffering, it's dukkha. And so I walk through this world, like, you know, aware of the suffering, you know, and then also aware of the power and the beauty that's in this world. So sometimes I struggle with how to hold both. And I think that the practice is a place for us to explore and to be present, right? To not shun away from or self-medicate away from the suffering, but how can we be present? And there are some tools within the Dharma that really help us to do that. I'm going to share one of them in just a minute. But first, this reading from A Lamp in the Darkness. This is a Jack Kornfield text that my mother gave to me a long time ago. And the whole bunch of the first part of this chapter is about, you know, how Jack tells stories to communicate his teachings. And this one is about a person that's working with gorillas in the jungle, and about how the practice is into the realization that this person has, like, of the sensation of being trying to be grounded in a very wild place. Do-do-do-do. Following the practice will help you to learn how to bring this respectful attention and awareness to the most difficult situations in which you find yourself and to your relationship with others. As you open to its illuminating consciousness beneath your struggles, a way through your difficulties will become clear. The practice is quite simple and can involve visualization, some instruction, and definite processes are necessary. You won't be asked to visualize anything beyond anything fancy in this exercise, but you'll use the skill of everyday awareness and mindful attention to eventually describe, you know, things you will probably remember quite a bit without having to work very hard. So it's a little out of context, but I love this part of the book because he talks about, you know, the practices are the stepping stones. They're the process by which we get into these practices, and they don't have to be fancy. So we're going to talk in a moment about Vedana, this feeling tone practice, which does rely on some visualization. And I find that as we cultivate these practices, you know, there's a level of surrender that's required, right? A level of, like, do I feel foolish? Like, am I willing to try this on, or do I need to be more prescriptive about what I'm doing in my practice? So I'll invite us to try this on, with the hopes that we'll get to where this is pointing. The Vedanas are, you know, often referred to as the feeling tones. So there are emotions, there are feelings, and then there's kind of the flavor that comes around them. So the way that we practice Vedanas is noticing the tone around them. And we typically refer to them as a pleasant feeling or sensation, or an unpleasant sensation, or a neutral sensation. And so the practice itself is, you know, to kind of ground yourself and feel centered. And then I'm going to invite you to, you know, find a posture that feels comfortable but still alert, and then ask you, how did your day begin today? We're just going to take a few minutes and kind of comb through the beginning of your day. As you woke up, you know, maybe there was a noise or a sound, or maybe there was light. You know, what was the first thing that caught your attention that woke you up this morning? if you can remember, see if you can notice, what was the feeling tone of it? Was it pleasant? Maybe you woke and you were feeling uncomfortable in some way. So maybe you woke and there was a feeling of unpleasantness. Maybe as you remember, there may not have been any of this pleasant or unpleasant. It just was. And that would be more of a neutral feeling tone. So just think through the beginning of your day and start to notice and label different sensations. Were they pleasant? Were there unpleasant sensations? Were they neutral? And as you progress through your day, you're out of the bed, and maybe there's a hygiene routine, maybe there's some teeth brushing or showering, or maybe there's some food. Just kind of combing through your morning or when you began the day to notice what were the experiences that cultivated kind of a pleasant tone or feeling in your morning. See if you can remember any sensations around your first conversation. Did you speak with somebody in person? Was there a phone call or maybe an email or text as you first started to connect with maybe somebody else in the world? What was that like? Was it pleasant? Was it unpleasant or neutral? Just going through each parts of your day leading up to maybe we're at lunch now and just noticing, oh, yeah, there's food, or there's a ritual, or maybe there's a practice involved. What was the middle of your day like? Can you attach kind of a feeling to any of those parts? Any pleasantness? Maybe there were unpleasant sensations and tones. Maybe there was a difficult argument or conversation. Maybe it was just neutral. As you move to the end of the day, noticing, was there any time outside? Were you noticing the sky? It was a little gray in Oakland today. What was the temperature and weather like? Was that unpleasant or was it pleasant? Maybe it was just neutral. Whatever you went through in your day, maybe there was some work, maybe there was some study or practice. And then as you prepared to join the Sangha tonight, any anticipation or any feelings since we began, like as we began the practice in this expansive luminous mind meditation, is there a feeling tone around that of pleasant or unpleasant or neutral? You just sit for a moment and allow you to gather kind of those reflections. This practice of noticing the feeling tone can be very, very supportive and helpful to us. So just take a moment and comb through maybe other parts of your day or other feelings and notice their tone just for another minute or so. And bringing our attention back into the room. In thinking about tonight, I really wanted to have a practice because I'll share with you why this was so relevant to me. So many practices can cultivate our sensations for our feelings. And when I'm feeling overwhelmed or feeling difficult, it's a new turn to my practice. It doesn't solve things, but it does allow me a different layer to work with challenges. And I think that that's how we get to this world where there's less suffering for all beings. A trigger warning, I want to have a conversation about a difficult experience I had, particularly around the queer community in the Pulse shooting in 2016. I was in a sangha at East Bay Meditation Center. I struggled so much with being inundated. There are times when the news is just kind of like pouring in, and we have to be really careful because if we're not mindful, we can take on a lot of pieces that we're that can cause us harm and frustration, and we should be aware of it. So I'm not hiding, but I just was not conscious of how much I was taking in and ended up very vulnerable. Such cruelty, such vitriol. It was just a way that it broke my heart in a particular way. So much so that I was really struggling to get out of bed in the morning. I was calling into work, and I'm like, I don't feel safe. This is after the very difficult summer. I mean, there's been a lot of challenges, but like, I just didn't know what to do. I was so overwhelmed with grief. And as I often do, I turned to my practice and I was, trying to be present, but it just was too painful. And I shared the practice of the vagueness because this is what really helped me. I thought about the terrible suffering and I thought about my community, right? These people that, some known, some unknown, that I hold space with in the Sangha. I'm just like, how does this cruelty, how does this violence exist? And I'm so sad. And so I'm noticing, feeling sound unpleasant, right? Like feeling very vulnerable, unpleasant, feeling like overwhelmed and very unsafe, unpleasant. And then I'm like feeling that, oh, there's also these people that are coming to help. There's people that are showing up to hold each other and to be together and to offer compassion and kindness. Huh. Pleasant. Interesting. Continuing to hold, throughout my day, combing through my emotions and experience and just noticing the feeling tone. And in this moment, when I was so upset that I was struggling to really get out of bed and participate in my own life, I was noticing that there were also points of pleasantness amongst the cruelty and the suffering. There was this crack that opened. And it was like, oh, even amongst such terrible, there's this still pleasantness. As I ring the bell in the meditation center and I call out the names of the folks that we lost, there was a coming together of our hearts and our spirits. It was meaningful to me, right? In the midst of all of the unpleasant and struggle, the fact that there was just this, a little bit of a crack, it helped me to separate myself from, this very overwhelming, consuming grief. And I needed just that little bit of crack to help me start to like pull in other parts. So I share this practice of the Vedana because it is pretty straightforward. It is accessible, but as we build the muscle, it can also create an awareness and a spaciousness that allows us to, to have more perspective. My practice since I've begun has certainly increased the time between which I experience something and how I choose to respond. When I first began, I was very like, oh, something happens to me, then I react. Something happens, I react. And as my practice grows, I notice that I'm cultivating this patience or spaciousness to respond instead of react. And so one of the tools that can help cultivate that is this practice of the feeling tone and the Vedana. Doing just what we've done today to notice which parts of your day are pleasant, which experiences can be described as unpleasant, and which ones are neutral. Yeah, so I invite you to kind of consider this practice as something to try on, or to, if you already use it, then to, continue and expand it maybe. But there, it has been so helpful to me. And I think for folks who, folks who are not, folks who are marginalized in community, us queer folks, like we have to be cultivating these tools of connection. And be aware of places where we can bring healing into ourselves and our community. See, 7:10. So I'm going to kind of pull my talking and teaching to a close. And then I would love to open up for questions, reflections, other perspectives, feedback, any of that stuff. But I'll close with the reading from Larry Yang's book, Awakening Together. It's definitely my teacher, and it's a great text. It's about Sangha, it's about community, based on his experiences with building the East Bay Meditation Center. So he writes, "You may think you are meditating with the purpose of attaining peace in your own mind or tenderness in your own heart. You may think the meditation practice is about creating deep awareness and mindfulness in your own life so that you can choose to what leads to happiness for you rather than what leads to suffering. You may even feel the benefits when this wisdom and insight arise in your mind and grow like and grow, excuse me, insights, excuse me. You may even feel the benefits when wisdom and insight arise in your mind and heart grow calm. But there's something else that happens at the same time. By emphasizing the refuge of Sangha, the Buddha was connecting personal practice and mindfulness to a collective form of awareness. I believe he was interested in transforming our collective experience into a higher order of consciousness, not bound by individual experience, but inclusive of the diverse experiences of all of us. As practice expands from the personal to the collective, from the internal to the external, from particular to universal, it comes to embody the full value and inclusion of all things, all people, and all differences. All of our experiences are invited and belong. None of us are marginalized and excluded. In this way, we belong, we are being invited to create beautiful and beloved communities." It just resonates to me that although our practice is individual, it time is building collective impact, right? When I feel stuck and so down and struggling, knowing that other folks are on this journey with me, known and unknown, it actually brings my heart, into an open posture. I love knowing that there are other queer people out there practicing, Kalyanamitta. There are other friends on the journey, cultivating these lessons and learning at the same time as I am. If I'm down and out, I know that that's part of the process because I know that they're practicing too. They're sending me metta as I send them metta. Like all of it is in the sauce. And I love this book and that teaching because it reminds me that although our practice can feel singular, it actually contributes to a collective healing and growth. So those are my thoughts. That's my musings, my thoughts, and my teaching for this evening. I set the intention to share something that was personal, that would be relevant and also maybe interesting based on some of the teachings I've shared. My intention was to offer a catalyst for a thought or conversation or deeper practice. I want to be aware if there was any harm I may have caused. I'm open. I want to receive feedback about that, but I just want to extend my appreciation for your time, energy, and practice. For the next few minutes, I would love to, open the mic and hear some questions, reflections, and conversations. Just dropping in and noticing. Yeah, it's feeling pleasant. So nice to be together and see each other and share our reflections. Just even as we arrived into this space with expectations, how nice it is to practice together and listen to these musings and stories and questions, then to connect, really to generate merit through our practice together tonight. And tonight we'll just offer some metta to all of our queer siblings in the world, I mean, to all beings that are experiencing suffering, but to specifically lift up those queer folks that are in our family and our lineage and tradition who are having a hard time. May all beings feel joy and move with ease today. May all beings feel safe. May we be protected from any inner or outer harm. May all beings feel healthy. May we all be strong in our body, in our spirit, and in our mind. May all beings easily remember the interconnectedness of all beings. May we all be free. Yes, thank you so much for your practice. That's wonderful.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.